everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I'm your host, Rob Oliver, and I would encourage you, wherever you are listening, take this opportunity to subscribe using whatever podcast platform you're on, and make sure that you don't miss any future episodes of the show. And of course, you can go back and listen to previous episodes as well. I'm very excited about the show today. I have Gainer Milkey with me today. Gainer is the bona fide business guide, helping entrepreneurs and small business owners simplify success with sound strategies for revenue growth and customer relationship building. She works with clients across the United States, primarily in the financial services and healthcare sectors, and has over 20 years of experience helping executives and business owners secure positive PR opportunities. Gainer, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. It's nice to be here.
Talk to me a little bit about PR, because listen, I'm an author. I've written a couple books, and everybody who has ever written a book has this idea, like, my book sales will go up if I could only get on TV. Is PR just getting your book on TV, or what is PR?
No, your PR is not just getting your book on TV, although a lot of people think of it that way. And that's where I have to come in and give a little bit of a reality check. PR, I think, is really a tool that's for business, for creating a positive reputation for your business. And the way that a lot of people can think about it very simply is just, I like to put PR in a bucket of any unpaid opportunity that you can garner to build relationships either with media or with your customer base or other businesses in the public space. And then advertising and marketing are the things that you're really paying for. But the thing I always stress to people when they say, oh, you know, go get me some PR, is that you really have to have a strategy behind it. So no, it's not just going and getting your book on TV. It's building relationships with people who can connect you to other people and other organizations that can give you even more exposure as well.
I think that what you're saying is very insightful in terms of the fact most people equate PR strictly to media. But what you're talking about is PR is a way of building relationships. And some of those relationships are going to be with media people. Some of them are going to be with your customers. And I also like the understanding that you lay out there that it's the opportunity to do free relationship building. So you mentioned that there's the idea of building a strategy. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that strategy of PR looks like?
Well, I think it has to align, obviously, with your whole business strategy. But if you take that example of your book, you know, say you just wrote a wonderful book about a trip to Italy you had and all the wonderful food you ate, you know, you have to think about it in terms of the purpose of the PR is not to say, hey, I just wrote this book, look at me. It's to get people to hopefully buy the book and talk about it. So you really have to think about PR in terms of what channels am I going to use to reach the people who might buy my book, as opposed to just a billboard or like a magazine article that talks about you and you wrote a book. It's like, well, why should I buy that book? And that's really what the PR strategy should be about, if that makes sense.
It makes great sense. It's interesting to me, though, because so many times I feel like PR focuses on me and my business and how do I tell people about me and how do I tell people about my book and how do I sell more books. But you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, that PR should focus a little bit more on finding the people that might buy my book and build relationships with them. It's not so much about just me as it is about the people that I'm targeting.
Right. And I have a name for this, and I use it in my business when I'm talking to clients a lot, and they kind of laugh at it at first, but it's true. It's that most of us, when we think about PR and marketing and promoting what we do, we're wheezing. We're going, wee, 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 or me, me, me. And that's the last thing that anybody who's going to potentially buy a product or service really wants. They want it to be all about them. So you really have to think about that book as you're positioning yourself, you know, as a credible resource, and the media can help you do that. But at the end of the day, the only reason that you're really doing that is because you're trying to build trust with an audience who you want to eventually take the action that you'd like them to take, which in the case of a book is obviously to purchase it. I mean, there's the kind of add-on of, yes, a book is definitely going to increase your credibility and authority, but that's not the primary reason for doing it if what you're looking for is book sales or product sales.
It's funny, even just in hosting this podcast, it's a relatively new podcast, but I've had several people pitch me to say, can I be on the show? And the responses, the ones that elicit a response from me, are not the ones that are about I, right? Because so many people say, I am this and I am that, and I would be wonderful on your show. The ones that get a response from me are the ones that say, I have a expertise in this area, and here is what your listeners are going to learn from my appearance on your show. That's I think, the difference in what you're talking about. So that wheezing and that meezing and that eyesing, which I'm not sure how many of those are actually words, but it draws attention. Because ultimately what we want is attention for ourselves and attention for our business and attention for the book, attention for the widgets that we sell. That's what we're looking for. But in some ways it kind of goes to that concept of what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at the potential PR partner as in what's in it for them. How does this benefit their audience? Is that exactly properly understanding what you're laying out there?
Yeah. I mean, think about a journalist or a producer on a TV show. They don't care what you did. What they care about is if what you did is going to get them more eyeballs or going to get their audience engaged so that they can keep having a show or a newspaper column. And I'm putting that pretty bluntly, but it's true. I mean, you're not going to get on the Today Show just because, you know, you made these really cool t-shirts and you think everybody should buy them. But if you made those really cool t-shirts because you were trying to fundraise for, you know, COVID-19 healthcare workers, and you made $1 million doing it and you donated all the money, now that would be a story that they might take a look at. And that's because people would be interested in it. You know, it really comes down to who is the end consumer and are they going to be engaged and take the action that the TV station wants. So when you're crafting pitches, I mean, I do this all the time. The very first thing that goes through my mind if I'm thinking of trying to get PR for a client is not what the client is doing. It's what value is what they're doing have to whichever media outlet I'm pitching to, because my pitch will get deleted within like 5 seconds, you know, if it doesn't capture their attention as to what's in it for them.
It's interesting because then you have three different levels of what's in it for me.
Right.
So what's in it for me as the person seeking PR is, what do I want to have as a result of this? Whether it's being viewed more as an authority, whether it's selling more t-shirts to support COVID-19, whatever that is, that's one level of what's in it for me. The far other end is what's in it for me as the audience, the people that are hearing or seeing my PR exposure. And then that middle layer that you brought up is the media. What's in it for them? Because they're not trying to sell my books. They're not trying to sell my t-shirts. They're not trying to establish me as authority. They're trying to maintain and grow an audience because that's ultimately what their job is.
Exactly. Yep. And I think that's where so much of people get disappointed with PR. I can't tell you the number of people who think they want to get PR, but they don't really understand what the process is, because it is very rare these days that somebody who's not already have a high profile, have a considerable amount of authority in the public space, is going to get on a major news network or in a newsletter, or I shouldn't say newsletter, a newspaper, not that we do that too much anymore, but or online, you know, high profile media spaces, unless they have something that's really compelling. It's really, PR comes down to a lot of relationship building and a lot of repetition, and a lot of people don't want to invest the time, energy, or money in that. Everybody wants like that quick hit, and that's not always possible these days.
You mentioned the idea of the pitch. Mm-hmm. Sending a pitch to the media or sending a pitch to whoever your PR target is. Is that the first step?
No, actually, I think the first step is having the strategy and the plan as to, you know, I just referenced in my last little segment there was about the quick hit. And I think that in order for PR to be successful and to bring results other than like a feel good, I call it vanity PR. So when people do get like one like hit of PR, it's almost like a little drug for them sometimes. You need to have a plan if you're going to have sustainable PR and use PR to like leverage your business, because it, you know what the news cycle is like. And I'm talking news cycle, not just from like a national, you know, perspective. I'm not talking like big PR here. I'm talking even locally. If you're a real estate agent, you know, I had a real estate agent client actually, and he wrote an article every month in the newspaper, local newspaper, and it went online as well. And it had nothing to do with real estate. It was, he was a faith-based person, and so he shared that. And he actually got more comments and more clients who came to him because of that than any other like advertising he did. But it was a strategy. He wanted people to see that he was connected to the community and that he was very sincere and trustworthy, and it, that really worked for him. But he was also really consistent with it, and you know, he was in a smaller market, so it was easier to, you know, get that kind of relationship going with the local media. But it was really effective. And I think that's where it needs to start, is what is the strategy? What is the interest or the public interest going to be in whatever it is that we're, you know, trying to promote? And then you craft the pitch around that, because that otherwise it's like, hey, you know, I'll use a t-shirt example again. You could write a press release that talks about your t-shirts, but again, if we don't have any public interest and it doesn't really fit into your long-term strategy for your business, it's really a waste of time.
I guess the next question then is, how do you find people to pitch to? How do you establish what your target PR is? And then maybe this is the next question to that. How do you make yourself someone that they would like to include in their PR? So there's right. Two-part question for you. How do you find them? And then how do you position yourself as someone that's worthwhile to be part of their outlet?
Well, I think finding the media is actually, Twitter has made that a lot easier, because it used to be, I mean, I actually started my career, and this will age me a lot, I started my career sending faxed press releases to like this media list that we had like keyed into the fax machine. And, you know, you would have to, there wasn't the internet like there is now. So you would, you know, it would be more like calling and finding those people. So now, I mean, you can go online and, you know, pretty much find anybody's either Twitter handle or email address. I mean, looking up different publications. You know, I think a really good strategy for people who want to kind of start with a longer term PR strategy is to go on Twitter and find the media representatives who are either in your industry or in publications where you would like to be seen, and just follow them on Twitter, because you can start to see what they're tweeting about. You can start reading their articles. And I would say that, in addition to finding, you know, people online, media representatives, I would also say that you need to do your background research on them as well, because you need to show that you understand why whatever it is that you're pitching to them is of value. Say, you know, I've actually pitched people at like Forbes magazine, and just from finding them on Twitter, taking a look to see what they're, you know, tweeting about, the articles they've written. And when I see that there's a really good fit for a client of mine, I'll reach out to them. Most of the time I'll do it by email and just say, hey, you know, I've been reading your articles, and I, you know, saw that you're doing a series on, you know, this particular topic. Would you be interested in, you know, using my client as a subject matter expert? And I've had that work several times. So part of it is doing your homework and then not being intimidated, you know, because I think a lot of people, especially small business owners, will think, oh, you know, they'd never interview me, or that is completely the wrong way to think about it. But you have to be able to provide value to them. So if you think that you have something that is in alignment with what a particular media outlet is talking about it, you know, right now, currently, or something that they should be talking about, as long as you do your homework and put together a good pitch, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they might, you know, contact you and want to talk to you.
I like what you're saying, because I want to go back to what you started with, as PR is the free way of getting your information out there about it. It's the free resources that are available to talk about your business, your efforts, whatever it is that you're working on. And yet what you're talking about now is that there is an investment that goes into it. It's mm-hmm. not a monetary investment, but you're talking about putting time and doing your homework and right. and building that relationship.
Well, and I think, you know, another way to think about, if we're just talking about kind of traditional PR, and that's getting, you know, most people think of it as getting yourself on in the media in some form. What I really hate, and this is like my pet peeve, is when people just are like, you know, well, you're in PR, you know, you should be able to like get me in the newspaper, or get me on the radio, you know. And I had one client in particular that I just couldn't work with anymore, where I'm like, he's just like, well, call your contacts. It's like, I don't call my contacts like just because you tell me to. And I'm not saying that from my perspective, but because I value the relationship I have with them. And I think if anybody's looking to have relationships with journalists, it has to be a two-way street. It is not, I need PR for my company, so I'm sending you a press release, and then I get upset because you didn't run it. Because there is a very, and this is an important point to keep in mind, there is a divide, or there's traditionally been a divide between editorial, which is the PR that we're talking about, so all the editors, say, of a magazine, and the advertising staff. And they don't like it when you cross that line. So I'm just being very honest that even if you are an advertiser, you know, say you're in a local newspaper, and I keep using newspaper, but an online digital edition of the newspaper.
Right.
And you think, wow, I spent a lot of money with these people. They should you know, give me some good exposure. That might be, you know, that's a rational, I guess, argument for a business person, but it's really going to get their back up on the editorial side if you put it out there like that. So again, it's better to build the relationship by providing value, letting them know that you're a subject matter expert or, you know, the cool things that your company is doing. And you can follow up every once in a while, but then you kind of have to let it rest. You know, if they're really interested, they'll, you know, get back to you right away. But having said that, it doesn't also mean that if you pitch something and you don't hear anything, you will never hear anything. Because just like, you know, I'm sure we all have projects that we're working on where we don't, we might start working on them and then we get pulled away and there's something else that's a priority. You know, they might remember your information. And, you know, in my experience, I mean, journalists by trade and media people by trade, you know, they're like little encyclopedias. So they'll keep your information if they thought, you know, I might want to use that sometime. And get back to you. So I think you had asked me what people should be doing to kind of be PR ready. And that's one thing, is to be prepared. I mean, what I always tell clients too is that, you know, we talk about what we've been talking about, and what we tend to talk a lot about is proactive PR, where we're looking for that PR for our company to try and raise our profile, or as an individual, you know, to be more authoritative. But what happens when the media calls you? You need to be prepared to either deliver on that pitch that you had sent to them, or be the subject matter expert that you offered to be, or even to handle them, you know, if there's some crisis or some bad news. So I mean, that just goes back to the whole relationship piece of it. And so I like to try and educate my clients and, you know, people that I talk to about PR, that it's really not that one directional push that we tend to think about. It's really a very organic and relationship driven art. And it, you know, it's something that takes time.
I think that the concept to me that jumps to mind is the Yiddish concept of the yenta, the matchmaker in the community, where there are some people and all they want to have is they want their child to have a match of a life partner, like find my daughter a husband. That's what I want. But you don't really just want, for me, I've got two daughters. I don't want them just to have a husband. I want them to have someone that they enjoy the same things, that they're on the same page with life. And that's really similar to what I'm hearing you say with the way that you are building relationships with the media and giving them the wrong client, giving them the wrong expert, giving them something that doesn't pertain to them is actually going to be detrimental to that relationship. Let me just ask this then. Do you have some quick tips, because we're running short on time, quick tips on what to include in your pitch? Mm-hmm. And then maybe after that, we can cover some quick places where people can find media PR opportunities.
Sure. So in a pitch, most of the time, email works best, and it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Obviously, your subject line is going to be what gets their attention. So, you know, I'm going to go back to my t-shirt example. It'd say, local youth group raises $1 million for relief with COVID-19 fundraiser t-shirts. So you want to let them know what it is that your email is going to be about. You can kind of write a little headline, and then in the body of the email, you know, if you've done your research, you should be able to call the person by name. And then just say, you know, I really think that the readers of your magazine or the listeners of your podcast would find value in this story. It's really had a big impact on our community. So you in that first sentence, you have to establish that you know who their audience is and why whatever it is that you're pitching is of value. Then maybe a short next paragraph that's talks just about you. I mean, if you're pitching yourself, then you can just, you know, talk to your credibility and your experience. But again, really short, give them your contact information and say, I'd be happy to ask or happy to answer any questions that you might have, and, you know, leave it at that. And then, you know, I always like to put a read receipt on so that I know if they've read it. But it can be as simple as that. I mean, with your local media, if you're in a smaller market, you can, and you have those relationships, you can, you know, probably just write a friendly email. As far as, you know, more formalized news, so like a press release, again, you would send that to the editor or a reporter who's covering what your release is about.
Okay.
So those are, that's how I would pitch a story.
Sure. So the pitch that you're sending out to the media is a very short thing. It's only maybe two or three paragraphs, very short sentences.
Yeah, then, I would say no more than probably eight sentences. They're not going to read more than that.
Okay. And then the press release is a much longer piece than that, but you're sending that out to the editor for the local paper or the producer for the local TV shows and everything.
Right. I mean, that's if you're doing kind of like a media blitz on a specific topic.
Sure. Mm-hmm. The last thing I just want to ask, are there a couple places where people that are looking for PR can go mm-hmm. and find some kind of low-hanging fruit in the PR world?
Sure. Obviously, Twitter, which we've talked about, there's a website, it's called anewstip.com. And you can, you know, find reporters there and do a lot of research about what's trending in terms of topics. But the one thing that I think everybody should, you know, get on board with is to sign up for Harrow, which is Help a Reporter Out. And you can go to harrow.com. I believe that's where you find it. And it basically is an email alert that journalists can put their queries in, what they're looking for, into a database. And then three times a day, or however often you subscribe to it, you'll get a list of potential opportunities that you can reply to an email with your qualifications. And it's everything from, you know, a journalist looking for moms to talk about dishwasher detergent to like Forbes looking for CPAs to interview. So, you know, that is definitely worth signing up for. It's free, and you can just spend like 5 minutes once a day going through the queries and see if there's anything that aligns with what you're looking for.
Excellent. Gaynor, you have been wonderfully helpful today. I appreciate the insight that you've given us. You have established that you are indeed smart. I have learned from you. It is time to establish your personhood. At the end of every show, we do three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for your three questions?
I am ready.
If you see a puddle on the ground, do you walk around it? Do you step over it, or do you jump in it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I step over it.
No problem.
Get my expensive shoes wet.
Makes good sense. What is your guilty pleasure snack?
Ooh, definitely ice cream.
What kind of ice cream?
Oh, peanut butter and chocolate all the way.
Excellent choice. Last question. What song makes you sing along automatically?
That's a tough one because I could sing to just about anything, but I'll go with my daughter likes to listen to Lady Gaga, so I'll say Born This Way.
Fantastic. You have a lot of expertise in this, in PR, and you're offering to help out our listeners. What do you have to offer?
Well, I am happy. I mean, if anybody wants to have a short consultation with me, I'm happy to do that. Or just, you know, people want to email me if they have some PR specific questions, I'm happy to do that. And then I also have a press release template that people can get as well to help them out. That's, you know, I know that we're running long here, but again, even just sending out regular press releases about company announcements and things like that is a good way to start, you know, making inroads with usually local journalists or trade industry journalists. So if anybody would like those things, they can certainly contact me or visit my website.
Okay, so what is your email address?
It is Gaynor, and it's spelled Gaynor at bonafidebusinessguide.com.
All right, excellent. I will put that in the show notes. I will also put a link to your website so that folks can get a hold of you. Thank you so much for being on the show. I hope that everyone has learned as much from Gaynor as I have.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, good. A reminder, folks, if you are interested in a PR opportunity for this show, there is right on the website, there's a Be a Guest on the Podcast page. Feel free to go there and suggest that, hey, I want to be on Learning from Smart People. This has been Learning from Smart People. I am Rob Oliver, and I will close with this reminder: when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.